Hi guys.
Hello. We are coming to you live. No, we're not. It's not live. We
Things are
recorded
getting
it.
progressively worse.
What are we saying?
Every week you're just watching our slow descent into madness.
This is part two of a show that was live. Now it's not live because it was weeks
Recorded.
ago. This is part two of the Melbourne show.
If you didn't listen to part one, it's last week's episode. Go back, listen to it so everything makes sense in this one.
And enjoy.
Bye. Guys, the presents never end. I love this. It's like my birthday, but like better. Because I hate my birthday.
It's like Christmas, but
who
10
likes,
days
who
early.
Who hates their birthday? Fuck, how bad is it? It's, you know why it's so bad? Why am I a stand-up comedian right now? I'm like, you know what's so bad about birthdays?
And airline food?
Yeah, what, airline food, right? It really sounded like, no, let's not become stand-up comedians. It's terrible.
Sometimes I think we could.
I think the same. Often.
As long as you guys are the only people
you
that come.
You are the only people
that
like to come.
Because you'll laugh, right?
Yeah. But anyway, what I was going to say was I hate my birthday because I always get hyper emotional, the Pisces in me. Shout out to all the Pisces in the room. And then I just feel really existential and like, what am I doing with my life? And I'm like 33 and I'm single.
You really aged yourself by a year then. You're
I
like
did.
33.
I'm like... fun fact of life is that I have put my phone on airplane mode because before...
This really is a stand-up show.
I don't know.
Should
I feel like
go?
Telling you guys all about my life right now. But I saw... So I missed a party in Sydney, which is a friend of mine's Christmas party. And she's putting up all this shit. And my ex-boyfriend is there and he either has this hideous beard that is like, there's no shape to it. There's no real...
It just exists.
It just is there. Or he has this really sexy moustache. Mm. And at the moment he's got the really sexy moustache. And then I messaged her and I was like, oh God, he looks good with a moustache. And then I had it on airplane that whole time. And when I turned it off, I just had like this barrage of messages of like, no, he's still shit. No,
no,
no.
Still a bad person. Ignore the moustache.
Ignore
still
the moustache.
Bad.
Stop looking. Mm. Anyway.
I do love
yeah,
a moustache.
Yeah, fuck the moustache.
Like, you know, Ivan Milat has a moustache. Still a bad person.
Still a bad person.
Still a bad person.
Still, maybe moustaches mean you're bad. No.
Well, actually, you know,
we
I love
moustache.
Ivan Milat and moustaches. Maybe that's why I do love Ivan Milat, because of the moustache.
Maybe.
Question my...
I don't know if anyone knows. Does everyone know that story of yours?
I really hope so.
otherwise
it's
alarming.
Very bad. So I was on a bus. I tell this story in the podcast.
You definitely tell it, yeah.
You're showing your non-listening if you don't know this story. And Julian like mentioned Ivan Milat in passing. I don't even know why, because he's not like a true crime guy. Doesn't listen to the podcast. And I was like, oh my God, I love Ivan Milat on a bus. And like it was just at the moment everyone on the bus went silent. And Julian's like, I don't think you can really say that. And I was like, I mean, I find it interesting. And he was just like, no.
People
there's
don't
no
get
digging
it.
Your way out of this one.
Weirdly, same guy, same ex-boyfriend, first date. I said, I love murder. And he was like, I don't think you can say that, Mel.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't get it.
You
they don't
can
get it.
Say it.
You can, because you don't mean you love it. You mean you're interested.
Yeah. And we have a podcast about it.
That's it.
So we're allowed to be interested. But both of these stories occurred before the podcast.
Yeah.
So that excuse doesn't apply.
I'm going to get into it. Start on that timer. I have such a spicy mystery
Mel
today.
Is so excited about this mystery.
I really am. Okay, so pre-warning, which my dad, wherever he is, I've forgotten. He's there. I can see the glasses. There he is. Bill Mason, represent. So... He never wants to get up. We're always like, Bill, come up on stage. Tell us about Crowded House like you like to do in the podcast all the time. And he just refuses to. So
I
no.
Love
no,
House,
he won't
right?
do it.
Okay.
Don't intimidate him. He gets mad. He gets mad at me. But he'll get mad at me for this later. But anyway.
P.S. He got a bigger cheer than we did.
Oh, my
quietly.
God, boy. he's like, woo, I'll just take over. It'll be like the Bill. It'll be like Ron Idle's Good Cop.
Yeah.
But it'll be like Bill Mason, Cold Chisel Hour. Would listen.
This. Yeah.
Would listen. So he was like, you need to do some sort of warning because basically there is a big twist to my story that is not going to come till the end.
And I don't know it.
And I messaged Josie and I said, do you know Bleep, the guy's name?
She's
that I'm
like,
talk
don't
about?
Google. And I was like, no, I don't. I have to know everything. And it took every part of my self-control not to Google.
I knew you would have done that. And then, so if anybody at any point works out the secret, do not yell it
don't
out.
Yell
do
it
not
out.
Tell your neighbor. Do not text your anyone.
Well, they could because then we
Or you can text
it.
Anyone. You can text someone. That's all you're allowed to do. As long as you can listen and text at the same time, I'll let you do it. Anyway, because you don't want to ruin it for anyone else. It'll be fun. It's a fun little spicy.
Yeah.
Little
so
twist.
No spoilers if you know it or if you figure it out.
But the first part of my mystery is if we... Oh
you have to do it.
Oh, fuck. Work.
It's DIY.
I love it, though.
Do you know we actually have a
Bam.
Laser pointer? There's a laser pointer.
Oh, my God. Where's the laser pointer?
Where? Hoosier Lane.
Oh, that's fun. Can we do it at people's
eyes? I forgot
lives?
About that. I should have put it on
How
Willy.
How do I do it?
Willy Coppin's nose.
Do you just hold that down?
That one. The dot.
No.
There's Bill Mason.
There's Bill Mason. Just start pointing it in people's eyes.
Isn't that an urban legend that you can blind people if it's like the black part of your eye?
Is that
real?
True? Is it real?
Does anyone know? Are there
it
any
is.
Ophthalmologists here?
Who was that?
Are you an ophthalmologist?
Are you an ophthalmologist?
Or is that Cam from Pedestrian TV? I don't know who to believe.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, Hoosier Lane.
How do you say it? Hoosier?
Hoosier? Cool. I've been there and it was to take really obnoxious photos of myself against all of that.
The cool
graffiti
because Melbourne's so cool.
I'm just
graffiti.
Mainly enjoying doing this.
Actually, that sounded like I don't love Melbourne. I do love Melbourne.
I love Melbourne.
Also, speaking of Melbourne.
Yeah.
Cam, don't think I didn't hear that sledge against the GWS Giants. we were standing down there and I went, and Mel's like, what? What's wrong? Is the baby coming? No, she didn't say that. I was like, he just fucking sledged the Giants. She's like, oh, I don't care. But yes.
I did care.
But you
I
don't
just
have the same feelings.
I didn't notice it like you did. I was just
I was
la,
like,
la, la.
Cam, you're fired for this week only.
1 week of being fired and that's it. Anyway, credits. We've got an article from The Age by Paul Miller. A book that I can't read out the name because it'll ruin everything.
A book.
By Maurice Gervich and Christopher Ray from 2007. A story also that I can't read out because it will ruin it from a website called Amy's Crypt, which is weirdly great.
Yeah,
and
Amy's
I think
Crypt.
Everyone should go and have a look at it. It's sort of like very GeoCities, like sad kind
Love
of
that.
Design. But that's what my Harry Potter website was like. And it did great guns back in like
great numbers.
Fucking 2000, guys. So, whew. Like, I'm sorry. I had an actual Hogwarts. Like,
yeah.
People did homework for me and I was 14. Like, I convinced other people from around the world to do homework for me.
I know, but you know my favourite part of this story is now she pretends she doesn't like Harry Potter. Like, other people in the office are like, oh, my God, like, I'm a Gryffindor. And like, oh, my God, Harry, oh, my God, the play's coming to Melbourne. This is so exciting. And Mel's just like... And then one day she revealed she had a GeoCities fan page where people did homework for her. And I'm like, you are a Potterhead.
Oh, it's my secret
but
shame.
It's like, yeah, she's in denial.
Yeah.
She doesn't wear it on her sleeve like me with my Slytherin pen on my desk. That's not how she rolls.
And the last one was City of Melbourne's. They've got a blog called Melbourne Cities Haunted. It does what it says on the tin, guys. So as you can probably tell, this bitch is haunted. Basically the story goes, and this is where I started on this very winding journey that we're about to go on, is that men who go down there to piss on the wall, basically, when they're pissed, say they can feel cold hands around their neck squeezing.
I'm really glad you said neck then. I didn't think you were going to. Just like cold hands squeezing. Like.
And they're like, this is alarming. But thanks for helping me wee. Does it help you wee?
Does squeezing
help
wee? Just like an orange. squeeze out all the juice. Does that help? I would do that, like, for time management if I was a boy.
Do you know what I love to bring up at work?
We're both obsessed with urinal behaviour.
And so we'll go to, like, the guys at work all the time. We'll be like, is it weird in there? Like, do you just – isn't it weird that you guys see each other's dicks all the time?
Remember, like, that story?
What story?
About the guy, it was his last day at work, and he walked in on our colleague Matt, who did an episode with us, the quarantine station.
Yes.
And he walked in and he's like, hey, Matt, nice dick you got there. And I told someone else that story and they're like, oh, yeah, Matt has a big dick. Like, that's not the point of the story. The point is, like, what, do we just comment? That. Like, yeah. Great dick.
Good dick.
You want me to squeeze it for you? I'm getting hot talking about dicks.
I'm like two lines in and we're like 6 minutes into my episode. Jesus Christ. Anyway, the City of Melbourne blog had quotes from Jackie Travalgia of Lantern Ghost Tours. I just,
Jackie.
Instead of like trying to figure it out, I just like fucking just say whatever I feel it's and then Jackie. Keep rolling. And she said, men who have been relieving themselves in the lane have felt icy cold hands wrap around their dicks, no necks. Necks. But also, some say they've seen the dark silhouette of a guy out of the corner of their eyes, but then they turn and no one's there.
Oh, no. You don't want that when you're pissing, do you, guys?
I hate that.
No.
I don't want ever to see anything out of the corner of my eye, ever.
Let alone when my genitals are out on the street.
Just that's the one. Anyway.
What? Would you be in public if you...
We're all very sober.
If you could pee in public, would you?
I have peed in public.
No, but
so
like easily. You know
like
how
many
like
times.
You know how we've got to like hide behind something? If you could just like kind of flop it out.
Oh yes.
Would
look,
you?
Yeah, maybe. But I definitely just stood in the gutter and weed.
Oh. So really? In a dress.
One
or pants?
Particularly good one was it was a New Year's Eve and we'd gone to a party, sorry parents, up the road from our house, like sort of like quite a distance, and then we were like, I'm not paying for a taxi, I'm going to walk home, because that's what you do when you're wasted, it's New Year's Eve. Mm. And I'm just walking, and I was like, oh, I really need to pee, and I just sort of thought it was a really good idea to just stand in the gutter. I was wearing a dress, so it was easier. But
That's interesting.
Classy.
I'm glad I've learned this about you. I've been wondering.
But yes, also on the other hand, yes, I would, but not in Hosier Lane, because
no,
they might
haunted.
Squeeze it.
I see.
You know, hands around your bladder. Might squeeze it? Is the ghost that legend has it of Frederick Bailey Deeming. So I feel like the person that said yeah knows the twist and do not say it. Shh. You're with me now. You're on Team Mel. We're keeping it tight. We're keeping it tight.
Just text someone if you feel the need to express yourself.
If you feel the need to, you may text somebody. Let's go into Frederick's backstory here.
Okay.
Not a great guy. Convicted and executed for the murder of a Melbourne woman in 1892.
We don't like that.
But he is also annoyingly...
Hot?
A very hot piece
of
ass.
Oh, a moustache. A moustache.
Look at that fucking moustache.
He walked so Malak could run. That's such a moustache, isn't it?
I know. And look at him. What a vibe. Like, look at those eyes.
Has he got an earring?
I probably.
It looks like he has one black emo earring.
It's either a dead fly or it's an earring. We don't know. Either way, we've got another one. Ready?
Bam!
Oh. He does not look like Heno. Do not ruin my
he
hotness
like
time
Heno
right now.
He looks like Heno and Charlie Hunnam had a love child.
He looks like Charlie Hunnam. Let's go there.
I hate that my brain is... looking at that.
But let's go right back. So Deeming was born in Ashby de la Zouch, which is in Leicestershire, that's how it's spelt, stupid name, in England in 1853 to a brazier. So obviously I had to look up what a brazier was and where Leicestershire was. Leicestershire is smack bang in the middle of England. And that's all that I have to say about that because we all know I'm geographical Mel and I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
It's in the fat bit of England.
It's in the fat bit.
In the middle.
Somewhere.
What's a brazier?
Well, firstly, Leicestershire, what do you think it looks like?
Leafy. Hills.
Exactly. What
old
you
buildings.
Would think. Just like ye olde cutesy,
why
adorable.
Why is England so fucking cute?
So fucking. It's too cute.
Oh, I love it.
It's offensively cute. It's like fucking what's his name from Pride and Prejudice is just gonna like pop out
Mr.
everywhere.
Mr. Darcy?
Mr. Darcy's just like boo, boo, yeah. Here I am all the time.
Yeah, it's just a lot cooler than Australia there. In that way.
I should move there. Anyway, Abrasi is not, as I first thought when I looked at it on Google, a man who uses a barbecue, but it is someone who works with brass.
Oh.
So one of those ye olde jobs that's not really like around anymore.
Because there's machines.
Yeah, probably. Or something. Melting things. Like I imagine Smelting? Like in Lord of the Rings when, oh fuck, how good is this scene in Lord of the Rings? Like just a quick side note. You know
Lord
when
the
they're
Rings
like,
hour.
You know when it's like that doosh, doosh, doosh bit and they're at the like tower with Samaran or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And it's like they go doosh, down into the orcs are like melting shit and banging and
I
then killing
that.
Each other for no reason.
Yeah.
Oh, and then that guy comes out of the sack and he's like, and then he kills the other one.
I don't remember that bit. But I remember going down, everyone's working.
And it's just good vibes except bad.
Yeah.
But good.
Like they've got a great work ethic, those orcs.
They really do. They just keep going.
And then they're like, I'm going to stab you.
Yeah.
Because like they probably don't get a lunch break. They're not being paid the correct wages.
They're just having a bad time. Okay, what the fuck is happening? Anyway.
11 minutes of
filth.
Dicks and
absolute filth. Anyway, none of this is important. Because it's all Aussie mystery hour, not you yoldy English jobs hour, is it?
No. But that would be a fun... Write that down. It's a good idea.
Idea. Anyway, it seems that Frederick might have been a bit of a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice Gervich and Christopher Ray, that wrote the book that I won't tell you entirely about yet, described him as a difficult child. And then he ran away from home at 16. And basically just started stealing shit and swindling people.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Which would be a vibe, if not for other things. In 1881, he married a woman named Marie James, who was a Welsh woman. Here she is. He doesn't look very hot
Means
I imagine she's hotter than that as well. I feel like no one in that artistry
drawing?
Has done a very... Yeah. Like, what's going on with his bung eye over here? That looks like mine. I have a bung eye and it gets worse when I'm drunk. And when I'm drunk, there's photos of me like this. It's just not cute. Anyway, not looking as hot there. So I'm imagining she's a lot hotter than that too.
She's like... actually looks like Emily Ratajkowski. The artist was just really not very good at drawing.
Or the artist really hated her.
They were like, this will do.
So in 1882, at 29, he moved to Australia with Marie. He worked in Sydney but also down in Melbourne for a guy who imported plumbing and gas fitting supplies. Seems weird to go between the two given the distance. Like it's 1882. Fucking, we don't even have a fast train now.
No. You know, and our flight was delayed by an hour and we just sat there. I did some Christmas shopping. We weren't sitting next to each other, so it was just like...
We were messaging each other about this woman that got on that was wearing like a live flower crown.
Like a fool.
And we needed to know her backstory. Yeah. Like, where did you come from?
And then the pilot said, oh, there's been some kind of emergency. And then we had to know what the emergency was, but he wouldn't tell us.
Yeah, it was rude. Upsetting. So anyway, that was also irrelevant and no one cares. So anyway, the Melbourne employers loved him and they found him to be an excellent worker. Mm. So they loaned him £200 because he wanted to go up to Rockhampton in Queensland and start a business. Again, very long way.
Yeah.
Just seems
that
annoying.
That would have taken a year to get there from here.
Just don't move to Queensland when you're in Melbourne. Even now, seems annoying. I've driven around Australia, I know.
You know
the
distance.
It's fucking far.
Yeah.
Anyway, he never repaid the loan because he's a cunt.
Of course he didn't. Yeah.
And meanwhile, he and Marie had two Australian-born kids, Bertha and Marie. Full flex to call the daughter Marie. Like, that didn't happen in the old...
Here.
Yeah.
There she is.
It's like the oldie way that the guys did it, but reverse, which I like.
Yeah, boss move for Marie.
Yeah. Anyway, then in Sydney, now he's working in Sydney as well.
Right, okay.
He was found to be stealing brass fittings from his employer and he denied it all. But then, bam, bits were found in his house.
Oh, red-handed.
Yep. And he was sentenced to 6 weeks in prison. He pretended to faint when the sentence was announced, which is also great.
I'm
going to do that
like,
whenever I don't want to deal with anything.
Like very theatrically. Like,
oh no.
I
just love like start that. Shaking my, you know, anyway. When he was released, he went back to work as a gas fitter, obviously with a different company, but was again back in court in 1887, this time over fraudulent insolvency, which I didn't bother looking up. Sounds bad.
Isn't insolvency when you have no money left?
And then you fraud people?
And then, but you do have money left?
Oh.
I made that up. I don't know.
So you're lying about not having money. Look, you know what? Let's go with that. No one correct us. That's fine.
No financial experts
tell us otherwise. No one fixed that up.
Just sit back and enjoy the show.
He then disappeared from New South Wales while on bail. Then chaotically fucks off to South Africa.
What? Now that would have taken a while.
This is a lot of boat trips, you know?
Yeah. Where did he get the money? Maybe it was a stowaway.
Well, he was stealing shit all the time.
Maybe he was selling the brass fittings to fund the South Africa jaunt.
And just swindling the fuck out of everyone. Right. Okay. So, but you know, still chaotic. I just hate boats. And like that's a lot of boat time.
That's a long time.
But Marie went back to England. No one knows exactly what he was doing or specifics about it, but it seems to have been between 1888 and 1889, although he returned to England at least once because Marie had another kid. But I mean...
Was it his kid?
Do we know it was his kid? We don't know. One thing we do know is he was part of a diamond mine swindle.
Oh, he's moving up in the world from brass fittings to diamonds. That's quite the leap.
And then when he went back to England, he was remembered because he would swan around on the boat dripping in jewellery and like throwing cash around everywhere.
Okay, I kind of love him.
I know, right? Yeah. Okay, this whole time I'm like, fuck, I love this guy. And then you're going to hate this guy.
No.
So it's upsetting.
Does he kill kittens? Is that what you're going to tell me?
I'm not going to tell you. Okay. But also he would crack on to all the women who weren't vibing him, which I don't
love. Sex pesty. We don't like
so
that.
So sex pesty.
No means no, Frederick.
Yes. He then moved to this place called Beverley in England. I don't know whether that is and I didn't bother looking it up. He passed himself off as a retired sheep farmer named Harry Lawson from Mount House Farm, Rockhampton, Queensland. It's very specific. Living on £1,500 a year. He's got a bit of a creative brain. You've got to give him that, you know. And then while he was living there, he met this woman called Helen Matheson, who was a 21-year-old daughter of his landlady.
Oh.
He marries her while still married to Marie.
Fred.
On the 18th of February, 1890. And then they went on this really lovely little month-long honeymoon. Oh. You know, they're just like hanging out in the south of England. You know where all the nice beaches are? They're not really
with all
that
the
nice.
Rocks. Nice lying on the rocks.
Beaches, like both in inverted commas. Yeah, they're like, they're like loving this massage. It all seemed really idyllic until he suddenly disappeared, all the expensive gifts he'd given her with him.
You can't do that, Fred.
He was like the original fuckboy.
Yes. He definitely looks like one with
does.
The earring.
He really does. So he goes back to Marie, who was his first wife.
Oh.
Well, still his wife because he's just marrying everyone. And gives her several hundred pounds. And he's like, I'm going to South America now. Why? I'll send for you and the kids once I'm all settled. Does a bit of a jewelry swindle just for fun.
Bit of a
before
light
he goes. Just
swindling.
Like a quick, he's like, gotta go. Let's just get some more jewelry.
It's like for him, that's like going to the ATM.
Yeah.
To like just get a few hundred
he's like,
bucks.
Oh,
he's
gotta
like,
get some money.
I need a little, I'll do a little swindle.
Yeah.
I'll just do a little swindle before I go.
Still,
that's
a few
how
diamonds,
he rolls.
But good. But then when he gets to South America, they catch him for that.
Right.
And he gets extradited back to England on the charge of obtaining goods by false pretenses, scoring himself a cool 9-month prison sentence.
That little swindle.
Yeah, cost him.
Yep.
He was released in 1891, moves around a bit under the fake name of Albert Williams. Marie visits him a few times pretending to be his sister, so now she's kind of in on it.
Right.
So she's just going along
a bit
with
of a
all the
Bonnie
swindles.
Bonnie and Clyde sitcho.
Bit, yeah. And brings the kids and is like, oh, they're my kids. I'm his sister. I just feel like none
That's
of this.
That's a bit weird.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'm sus. He gets married again.
Oh, my
God. He now has 3 marriages at once.
And she's still visiting him like a sucker.
Yes.
God.
I didn't get the impression that she knew about the marriages.
Right.
Like, okay. She didn't really say, but I get the impression she didn't know. This time it was to this woman called Emily Lydia Mather. That's Emily.
Oh, it's quite
the pose. She looks pretty chic. have to say. That's a very stern collar, though. That's what we, what do we call them?
Oh, like a severe...
Like a severe collar and a severe bun.
Severe bun, yeah. She's definitely going to haunt someone one day.
Oh, she is
in that
haunting.
In that exact outfit.
That's the outfit she haunts in.
Yeah. Just leaning against tall boys.
A fur? And like a fur that's on just like a concrete pylon? Like, who set that up?
I don't know. Maybe it's one of those glamour photographers.
It's totally
someone
like
someone got her like a star shots thing for her birthday. It's kind of like, but you weren't allowed to smile back then, so she just has to look severe.
Yeah.
She could have been a very nice person for all we know, but she has to look severe.
She has to look severe because it's star shots. That's what they make you do. Just like now they make you wear like leopard print bikinis. That's what you have to do if you go to star shots and a feather boa for no reason.
Yeah.
That combo.
Glammered up.
So she was the daughter of a widowed local shopkeeper, and she and Deeming, but under the name Albert Williams, because he's going by that right now, got married in 1891 in September. Then in November, he takes Emily back to Australia, arriving mid-December. Don't know what's going on with Marie now.
She's just stuck with the kids.
She's just like
kinda
in
waiting.
England somewhere. So they rent this house in Windsor. I don't know where Windsor is.
It's near...
Like, literally here.
Is this Windsor?
Oh, I thought we were going to be like, and we're in the house. No, we're in a church, which is also probably haunted. Mm. So his name now is Mr. Droon.
Where's he getting these names
from? I just think at some
from?
Point he could have kept... a name just for a bit, like you just, it's so much changing.
Or just done similar variations, like
Deeming,
Deening,
Derning, Doning, Downing.
Yeah, otherwise
dining.
You get confused.
Yeah, he'd be like, hi, confused. I'm Albert. No, I don't
Who
know.
Who am I today?
I am Bob. That's probably how it happened. He probably just gets confused.
His last alias was just Bob. No surname. No Robert. Just Bob.
Nothing. Just one name. Like, and then he gets into like weird things like Lady Gaga. Like he starts being like Monsieur Carpet.
Monsieur Carpet.
Carpet. Oh, shit. Anyway. And the musical talents of Monsieur Carpet coming up. Anyway.
Monsieur Carpet's here with us tonight.
Here he comes.
Him and Ron Idles just standing out there.
Yeah, just waiting to come on stage. So he pays a month in advance, and the owner, who was a nearby butcher named John Stamford, was like totally cool with this because apparently he just had an air of respectability around him. And he said he didn't even know his name at the time.
He just liked the guy.
He just seemed good.
I liked the look of him.
You
liked
the look.
He's wearing
a top hat.
I liked his moustache.
I liked his cool earring. His forward-thinking, future-thinking earring.
His emo earring.
He just had a good vibe about him. They move out pretty quickly. And then on the 3rd of March in 1892, a prospective tenant is looking at the house and complains of a disagreeable smell.
Uh-oh.
In the second bedroom.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The owner and estate agent then investigated, obviously, because they don't want this smelly house. They raised the hearth stone, so, like, literally the floor.
Oh, my God.
And the smell became so overpowering, they found themselves barely able to breathe.
No.
The police were called. Emily's body was found. Her skull had been fractured by several blows. The most likely cause of death was that her throat had been cut. And the age reported on her murder and said, quote, the body hacked and mangled, the cool manner in which the cementing was carried out, cemented, like he cemented her into the floor.
Oh, my God.
The taking of the house, et cetera. They literally said et cetera as well. Like it's like they couldn't be bothered finishing the sentence. Guys, journalism, let's do it. Anyway.
We do it every day.
Obliteration of all traces of the crime. All these things suggest the malevolence and craft which can scarcely accompany the sane murderer. No matter how callous and brutal. So using local sources like from the neighbourhood, Victoria Police Sergeants William Considine and Henry Causey were quickly able to trace the recently arrived Albert Williams to the Kaiser Wilhelm II, which was the boat that he'd arrived on. They interviewed other travellers on the boat and not only worked out that the dead woman was Emily, but got a good description of him. So police, again, doing a good job.
Yeah, this never happens
this
in our
never
stories.
Happens.
Ever.
Good on you. They circulated it to all the Aussie colonies because obviously this is the 1800s. It's
right.
not like, Wasn't you like know,
happening down here yet.
No, he had to go to all the different colonies in an attempt to find the guy. Meanwhile, Frederick's chuffed off to Sydney again. Now he's using the name Baron Swanston.
Oh, God.
It's just getting Bob. More elaborate.
Bob.
Bob. You're like, it's going to get to Bob. I swear.
We're getting there. That's the twist. The twist is he becomes Bob. I figured it out. Let's go.
So on the trip up, he meets this woman called Kate Rounsefell, convinces her to marry him.
Oh, my God.
By, get this, telling her she would not regret it.
Ooh. Fuck boy. Fuck boy.
Fuck
he
boy.
He is, isn't
fuck
he? Because a soft boy would be like, you might regret it.
A guy has never told me that I won't regret it.
But it's just like, he is just, he's toxic.
He's toxic masculinity in a package. Mm. And gives her a shitload of stolen jewelry, as he
oh
loves
God.
To do.
He's going to take that back, doll. He's done it before.
He's done it before.
He goes.
He then moves to Western Australia.
Oh.
And tells Kate to follow him once he sets himself up. So he goes to this place called Southern Cross, which is this mining town sort of near Kalgoorlie, but then in the very real way not near Kalgoorlie. Mm,
in the vague...
In that vague...
Direction?
It actually is in the fat bit of Western Australia. Because, you know, it's like that and then like...
Yep.
It's like there.
Yeah, right.
No one listening to this back in the recorded episode is going to know what the fuck They're just
all
happened
like,
then.
I 100% They're know like, I am. I know.
It's there. So he starts mailing Kate over and over, being like, get this, oh, just, you're going to die. If you love me, you'll come meet me.
Oh, my God. Why are you such a dick? You're right. I was going to think he was a dick
eventually. I know, I know.
Just like mailing her, that's like the equivalent of like DMing.
I know.
In that time, right?
Pretty much.
Ugh.
He's like, babe.
Like, if you really loved me.
If you really loved me, you'd give me $5 million. Anyway, the Victorian police, unbeknownst to him, had telegrammed Western Australia. Oh. And they soon figured out that the same guy who murdered Emily was working in Southern Cross.
Wow, they were really on it.
They were
for like
fucking on it.
The 1800s, like, I mean, where they had no technology.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. Like, they don't have a lot to work with here.
And they're nailing it.
They're nailing it. Mm. So on the 12th of March, 1892, Frederick Bailey Deeming was arrested. And police quickly found possessions of Emily's on him, so they connected the two. Mm. Because Frederick's story was so, like, wild, because he obviously cemented his wife into the ground, the news went all the way to England. And from there, investigations in the home he shared with Marie
yes.
led to the discovery of her body and the body of all their four
no.
children.
No, yes. you're a bad yes. person.
And what had he done? He buried them in the floor.
God, he really likes a bit of floor burial.
I know. They hadn't been discovered for 8 months.
Ugh.
Because his brother and his Marie's sisters all believed the family were overseas with Frederick because he moved
right.
around so much. So he'd been saying, oh, no, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
they're here with
and
me.
And there was no technology like Facebook or anything mm-hmm. to be like, hang on, she hasn't posted in a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like, oh, you don't hear from people.
Yes.
They don't telegram. You just don't know.
You just don't know.
You don't know. They're in the fucking floor.
So
this is creeping me out. Man.
I know. I'm sorry. It's gonna
he
get,
lived
it's getting
here,
more
didn't
fucked.
He?
So he did, not very close, not very far from here. Probably where our hotel is.
We'll be sleeping
our
on top
probably
of
the built on the house. Who would know? So I don't know how they worked this out if it had been 8 months, but potentially because he'd cemented them into the floor, their bodies were kept in quite good condition maybe, but all of their throats had been cut except for his eldest daughter who'd been strangled. And investigations show that the deaths occurred around when he started courting Emily. So that was around 1891. He tries to plead insanity, of course, saying he has syphilis.
Look, it wouldn't shock me at this point. I don't mean to slut shame old Frederick, but he was definitely swinging that thing around.
He was, yeah. But everyone was like, bullshit.
Yeah,
and they convicted him. And he was subsequently executed at 10:01 a.m. on the 23rd of May, 1892.
Bye.
Not going to miss that guy. Mm. Not going to miss that guy. And he wrote an autobiography while he was awaiting his death.
We
but
love
it's
this.
Been destroyed.
Oh.
I know. Here's the wild twist. So, the murder of Emily was so gruesome and Australia was so shocked. So obviously, like I said, the news went global. And there was quicker speculation arose that Frederick Bailey Deeming was Jack the Ripper.
who
knew that? There's a few. You're good. Great job, guys. Great job,
oh
everyone
God.
In the room that knew that from the beginning.
I've been talking about Jack the Ripper this week.
There you go. Case file
oh,
did it.
I haven't
it.
Listened to that one.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
What episode
it would have
is
ruined it?
It.
Good job.
I literally said this week. I love Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Oh my God, you did too. Maybe that's what was in my head when I was looking at
this.
Yeah,
that's why you like clapped your hands in glee.
He is Jack the Ripper, by the way. Well,
look
that's
at him.
Shifty looking. I mean, it's just a shifty guy. That's just an any man. Like,
I love these guys gossiping behind him. Like, do you think that's Jack the Ripper?
I heard he slits women's throats. But
he kills sex workers. They're talking the correct language.
Also, that like poster on the wall that just says murder.
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 And they're like, ooh. They don't look scared. They
what he looks like?
Salty.
He looks shifty, drifty, and sus,
yes,
don't you think?
Yes, he does. I feel bad. I feel like that man's just minding his own business.
I know. He's probably
happens to be
not
walking
him.
Past the murder sign, and these blokes are like, that's him. That's him. That's absolutely him. But he doesn't look like Frederick Deeming.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, he doesn't. But there was quite a few suspects potentially being Jack Ripper. But I am really on this because, obviously, at first it's just speculation, and papers are picking up on the throat slitting connection and all of that. And obviously, he was from England, he'd been living there in bits and pieces. This is some great news related stuff. This is a let's check their handwriting and see if it's the same.
It's him.
Like, what the fuck? That's like two completely different handwritings. I'm sorry.
Also, like everyone wrote like that back then. Like, you had to like learn it in school.
It's literally like forced to learn your writing like that. And then this was a big, that was the big one.
They both have moustaches.
They both wear top hats.
Except his hat's squashed.
Yeah.
What's happening down here?
I don't know. What is anything happening? Also, why did they write in these papers? Like, it was like scribbled like a 5-year-old child wrote it. Like, look at that corner writing where they've just run
Deeming's
out of room
bravado.
And they just gave up.
I love it.
Anyway, so there's a few reasons though. Obviously, yeah, so like I said, he was British born, back and forth to England, the brutal nature of the murders.
Bad person. Moustache.
Yes, but while he was a suspect, while Frederick, he was being a suspect.
This is probably like
10:30 p.m. and this is probably when like Millie was being like a psychopath like she usually is.
Guys,
and we were not
we were not organized. We both did our research yesterday.
Literally so bad. I've been hungover for like 3 days. It's not been a good time.
I don't have that excuse, but I have plenty of others.
There's so many excuses.
I just couldn't be bothered. That's my excuse. I couldn't deal.
Anyway, it was supposedly dismissed by Scotland Yard, but speculations still continue today. So in 2011, there was this Discovery Channel doco and this guy, Robin Napper, was a former Scotland Yard detective and he's also a forensic researcher now.
Is he a ripperologist? That's what they call the specialists.
Maybe he was.
Yeah.
They
maybe
didn't
I'll
say
be a ripperologist one day.
In the thing I was reading, which was Wikipedia, but they might. So he got together this team of researchers and they came to the conclusion that most of the evidence leads to Deeming as Jack the Ripper because, according to Robin, the reason that they actually dismissed the idea was because they thought that he was in jail or in South Africa when the Whitechapel murders. Whitechapel. I was like, is that a silent E? Anyway, Whitechapel murders, which happened across 1888 to 1891, had happened and, yeah, they just thought he was away. But Robin proves he wasn't in jail at the time and points to evidence. I really want to watch this doco, by the way. Totally did not watch it, but would like to. Discovery Channel, guys. I'm sure you can just Google it.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
So it points to evidence that he had, in fact, been back from South Africa to England at the time of the murders.
Oh.
Yeah. He also connected Frederick telling the court about his syphilis as a potential motive that maybe he had caught it from a sex worker in England.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was a lot of sex workers that were murdered.
Yeah.
And obviously killing pattern, like the MO, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, and then there's this horrible death mask. They used to make these things death masks.
No.
Yeah, and it's on display at the old Melbourne jail if you feel like going to see it at any point in time.
Oh, Christ.
No, why is there a rogue hand? Don't do that.
I'm scared of that. And I don't want to look.
But see, when I put it in, because obviously the black line of it fades it in, so it's like he's just sort of like,
coming out of it.
That's going to haunt my dreams tonight.
Oh.
Also, side note, completely useless side note, but It Chapter 2 is on the like movies thing in the hotel, and I was like, fuck yeah, that's what I'm going to do after this, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah, just don't do that. You won't sleep.
Real murders with a
weird dreams combining like three different stories. There'll be a missing chef, there'll be a disembodied hand. There'll be a clown. Your dick will be like squeezed by ghost hands. Don't watch that movie. Watch something nice, like Chopper. We were going to rewatch Chopper. That's nice.
But anyway, so that's pretty much it. But what I did want to tell you was that Paul Miller from The Age spoke to this guy called Jeff Crawford, who is a biomedical scientist. No one knows what that is. That's one of those things people just say.
A biomedical
just
scientist.
Just say you're something. I think actually my cousin might be a biomedical scientist. Is Jim a biomedical scientist? Yeah.
Sorry, Tim. No hate.
Sorry, Tim. Doesn't listen to podcasts. Doesn't even know I have a podcast, I don't think. So there's that too. He was searching for the skull because basically in the 1930s, the bones were moved. You know how they love to fucking
do this?
They love
to move and then like lose things.
Yes.
Like the Somerton Man suitcase. Man. We'll never get over that.
We're never
just
over
whoops,
it.
It's gone. Whoops, we've lost the skull. Everything's
if we become
gone.
Quadruple millionaires, I'm going to put money, you would do the same,
yes.
into finding that fucking suitcase. Yes. I reckon it's somewhere.
And doing the DNA test.
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking about a whole other case.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Doesn't
I can
matter.
Retell it
I'm
if
sorry.
You want, if you want to hang around.
We're so close to the end. You guys are like, please fucking finish.
It's literally like the last paragraph. Everyone's like...
Anyway, so he was searching for the skull because he wanted to compare DNA to find out if he was the fucking Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
Right? But the skull and femur went missing. So
of course they did.
He thinks a little sus thing was afoot.
Cover up.
Why were they covering it up though? Don't know.
They are. Because they can. Because the police
just
suck.
Because.
I needed to say it because I've been too nice to them tonight.
So don't you reckon he's Jack the Ripper?
Yes. No, I do have to say Jack the Ripper didn't put anyone in floors.
I know.
So that's a bit of a different vibe.
It is a different vibe. I did think that. And look, to be honest, I was like, how much Jack the Ripper shit am I going to read right now? Like, I've gotten to the end of this thing and then I was like, oh, fuck, he's maybe Jack the Ripper. This is a big
twist.
This
is great.
This Wikipedia page is about 30,000 pages long.
Ripperologist.
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
So I just sort of skimmed it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of horrible pictures
that I
didn't put
in. He left them out in the open.
I was like,
oh, my God, all the Jack the Ripper crime scene photos are so gross.
It was very graphic.
Because he was just like...
He just got really, like, it's like he murdered people. Like, he... this is top line Jack the Ripper information.
It's
here,
now
guys.
Jack the Ripper hour,
you're like total experts. And you're like, she's butchering it like Jack. Anyway, no, like he would like slit the throat, kill them, and then he would just get like, he'd be like,
play
I'm
around.
Gonna pull their intestines out and wrap it around their head for no reason.
Yeah.
I'm gonna like put things on the walls. And it was really
and
fucked.
On the bedside table.
Yeah. Which I look, I have to say, I really like, you know, I would prefer I've said this in the podcast before, and it's really hard to explain it, but it's like torturing people is extra fucked. Like, it's fucked to kill people, but, like, torturing isn't, no. Mm. And so it's like, at least he kind of did it when they were dead.
Mm.
But still not cool.
Still not amazing.
And weird.
To do that.
And alarming.
But at least they weren't alive while he was, like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, because, you know, like, obviously, like,
like, don't put it on my bedside table. I just
really
cleaned
fucked.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
I don't know. We're ripperologists.
That's it. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Everyone.
We love you.
Still can't believe people just sit here and listen to us talk shit. I
can't believe it was sold out.
It was
the
best. We love all of you, as you know. If you're not in the group, please join.
Yeah.
We're so overly active in there. I think people are like, please
go
just
away,
chill
mom.
Out. Yeah, it's like, we just want to talk.
We want to have fun in
Can
here.
You guys stop talking? We just want to talk.
And I'm going to be on it a lot more, I think.
Yeah,
like
I think
weird
so.
Hours.
Yeah.
3 a.m. Just like, hey, guys, who loves Ivan Milat?
Live, just like live streaming yourself for no reason. Like three people are in there. Yeah.
I promise I won't do that. Maybe. We'll see.
What else? We've got a merch table out the front.
Buy
we've got
it.
Tees. I cannot even tell you our issues with the printers.
Oh, God.
So
Mel's been a hero. I haven't done any
the
work.
Zesty tees
Like, I actually am staring at the floor because I want to sink into it and sort of, like, collapse.
In a Frederick Deeming victim kind of way.
Yeah. Just. But personally, I did it to myself. The Zesty Teas are coming, but not here. But we have the Yowie shirt.
Yep.
And we have the Josie shirt.
Yep.
And they're $35 each. And we're also going to go stand there and say hi to everybody because we like to meet you all and say hi.
Yes.
Thank you again for coming.
That's
end.
That's it.
Bye.
Bye.